I feel like my neck is going to be sliced off. I'm wearing fishing line today and a rubber band because I didn't want to stick that little clip into my Christmas sweater. Actually, I don't really like the sweater. I ordered a gargoyle sweater, and then they sent me this one instead. So this one doesn't really matter. You ought to see the gargoyle sweater. That's really impressive. I'm just killing time. Now that everything's on the screen, I can go ahead. We were just singing these words that Matt Redman wrote. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. 10,000 reasons to praise God, to worship Him. We ought to be able to think of a few of those 10,000 reasons. This happens to be the Sunday when we have our annual business meeting. And what better time than this to be able to think back over this past year, to think about things that we're thankful for. So what we want to do this morning is think about those things for which we are thankful and also thank the one who has given us those blessings. So that's what we want to do. And to help us do that this morning, what we're going to do is use the book of Colossians as a springboard into giving thanks. If you attended ABF this fall, Joe led us through this study of the book of Colossians. And one thing that struck me in going through the book of Colossians is that there are multiple references to thanksgiving or gratitude. And it's easy to miss, but if the first reference strikes your attention and you trace it through, you realize Paul is frequently encouraging us to give thanks. So what I want to do is go through, just briefly touch on a couple of those, on all the passages where thanksgiving or gratitude is referred to. And we want Paul's teaching and exhortation about gratitude and thanksgiving to just be a springboard to propel us into giving thanks. And then we're going to spend, when I'm done, we're going to give you an opportunity to publicly testify to the Lord's goodness. We want you to give thanks to Him. And this is the perfect seating arrangement for us to do it, because we can all look at each other when this happens. The first reference is when Paul begins his letter and offers a prayer for the believers in Colossae. He says, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel." And beginning his letter, he can't help, it's just like he just can't control himself, Paul is forced to give thanks. And who does he give thanks for? He gives thanks for people. One of the reasons that we can thank God is for people. Why is Paul thankful for the believers in Colossae? He's thankful not only for what they have in Christ, but he's thankful that his knowledge of them reveals that they are covered with the fingerprints of God. When he thinks about the believers in Colossae, what he thinks about is these are real believers because they have the marks of a Christian. So what are the marks of the Christian that are evident in their lives? He mentions faith and love and hope. Faith. Faith is how we begin our Christian life. Faith is the doorway, the entranceway into the Christian life. But faith isn't just something we practice one time. Faith is something that's ongoing. Our lives are characterized by faith. How does faith work itself out? Faith works itself out in obedience, in our speech, in our works, in everything that we do. Faith works itself out. Just think about what James wrote in his epistle. And when Paul thinks about the believers in Colossae, one of the things that stands out is these are people of faith. And they just show it. All the reports he gets are that they're living out their faith. He also is thankful for their love. Remember on the night of the eve of Jesus' crucifixion, the thing that he said to his believers that would be this distinguishing mark would be their love for one another. And what stands out to Paul when he thinks about the Colossians is the fact that they love one another. Isn't it neat to know that you're surrounded by people who also give evidence of faith and love? People who express concern to you, people who sacrifice for you, people who say the right things to you, who do the right things for you. Another thing that stands out about the believers in Colossae that is evidence of God's fingerprints all over their lives, they are people of hope. Hope is not something possible that we wish for. It's something real that we wait for. That's what hope is. And the reality of what lies ahead for us just spurs us on in our daily lives. Why do we keep trusting? Why do we continue to be people of faith? Why are we continuing to be people of love? Because we know that we have a great hope in store for us. We get a taste of it right now, but the best is yet to come. In a little while, we're going to have an opportunity to give thanks. Well, one of the things we might want to give thanks for are other people. Paul was thankful to God for other people, and he expressed it to them. So we might have the opportunity this morning to give thanks to God for people he's used in our lives. Paul continues. Another thing that he reminds us of is that we should be thankful for our salvation. I love this passage. We only have like 92 seconds to talk about it. What he's doing is he's encouraging them, just before this part of the prayer, what he's doing is he's encouraging them to grow, and then he's encouraging them that growth will lead to living a God-pleasing life. And then he gives marks of a God-pleasing life, and one of the marks of a God-pleasing life is joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There's a whole lot of stuff in there. But he said one of the marks of the fact that we're living a God-pleasing life is that we are joyously giving thanks to the Father. Why? Because he qualified the disqualified. If you're a follower of Jesus, that's not offensive to you. You became a follower of Jesus because you realized you were disqualified. You had no right to be a part of God's kingdom because of your rebellion, because of your sin, that genuine guilt that you have. And what did God do through Jesus? He qualified us, we who were previously disqualified, for this great inheritance. We got transferred when we put our faith in Jesus. We got transferred from the kingdom of darkness, which is associated with death and guilt and sin and ignorance and falsehood. And we got transferred to a kingdom of his Son, which is also a kingdom of life, which is associated with life and truth and knowledge, and so on. And we couldn't get there on our own. Jesus did it. Our sin disqualifies us. Jesus died to pay for our sin. He took that sin, removed that guilt, and his righteousness is credited to our account, so now we qualify. He paid the price, redeeming us, setting us free from bondage to sin, and slavery to sin, and the debt that goes with us. And now we have forgiveness of our sins. In a little while, we'll have opportunity to give thanks. And one of the things we might want to give thanks for is our salvation. Some of you might want to testify to that. Paul goes on, and the impression I get, everything is reversed for some reason. It's supposed to go that way, but I got to go backwards. to go forwards. Which I'm sure there's biblical truth in that. Sometimes you have to go backwards to go forwards. But what he does, this is like, if you're going to pick out a kind of a core verse for this particular book, you couldn't go wrong right about here. It kind of sums up everything that he's saying. He says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." You know, when you think of it, Paul, the big message that Paul is trying to get across is, I want you to go on. You started your this race by faith. Now what I want you to do is go on and mature, and then the thing that he immediately says after that, and I want you to do it overflowing with gratitude. Why? Because he wants gratitude to be the attitude that we have every time we go, just everything that we do. And that seems to be emphasized in Paul's further references. Notice what he says a chapter later in chapter 3, verse 15. He said, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Paul, the verses that lead up to this, what was Paul stressing? I want you to live in humility. I want you to live in love. I want you to live together in unity. And then he says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called to one body." We are one. That's why we should live together in unity. And then he says, "And be thankful." It just almost seems like out of place. We wouldn't think to put that in there, but Paul knows it's so crucial for us to be thankful. That enhances our unity. You can't have a bunch of unified people who are selfish, who are ungrateful, who are focused on the negative. You can't do that. The best way to have people work together is when they're all thankful. They're grateful people. They're appreciative of other people. They're appreciative of God and what he's done in their lives. They're focused on the positive. And that's why Paul tells them, as he's making this appeal for them to be unified, I want you to make sure that you are thankful. Wrong button. Next verse. Let the word of Christ, probably refers to the word Christ said, the word about Christ, all the truth about Christ. It's almost like equivalent to the word of God. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And you know, you can interpret that within you as within each individual, but in light of the context, I think it also means like among us. So it's like in and among us. When the word of Christ, the truth about him, his life, when that's within us and among us, he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And why did the whole thankfulness thing? It just seems like I wouldn't have included that. But it's so important. He says, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. What Paul is saying, Christian fellowship, Christian worship, when we sing together, all of that should be done with an attitude of gratitude. It should be all done with thankfulness to God. Because he knows that an important part of our working together and growing together is unity. And unity is enhanced when we are appreciative of one another, when we're appreciative of God. The very next verse, three verses in a row, he mentions thanksgiving. And this kind of ties together everything he's just said. He says, whatever you do in word or deed. He's kind of talked about, you know, fellowship. He's talked about worship and singing to one another. And then it's like he says, I have a train to catch. I'm going to another city. I can't give every illustration. So let me do it this way. Whatever you do in word or in deed, whatever you say, whatever you do, whatever you engage in, he says, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I think his point is, in a way that's consistent with his character and consistent with his will. To do something in the name of Jesus means to do something in a way that he would do it. Do it in a way that would honor him. So do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I would have ended right there. But Paul's on this. Why does he keep emphasizing thanksgiving? It must be important. He says, and whatever you do, in church, outside the church, at home, at work, no matter where you are, do it giving thanks through him to God the Father. Why would Paul keep emphasizing this? Because I think Paul knows that we are a Christian because of God's grace. Everything we do is because of God's grace. He gives us the gifts, he gives us the talents, he gives us the motivation. Everything we do, we should do giving thanks to God. What a great emphasis in this book. Paul's obsessed with giving thanks. Maybe we should be obsessed with giving thanks as well. And then there's one more reference to prayer, and that's in chapter 4, verse 2, when he begins an appeal for prayer, and he encourages people to pray for him and his ministry. But this is the way he starts. He says, devote yourselves. You know, don't dabble in this. I want you to be totally committed to it. Devote yourselves to prayer. Why is prayer so important? It's our lifeline to God. It's how we connect with him. It's how we commune with him. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Keeping alert, we understand that. Remember when Jesus and his disciples were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus comes back, his disciples are sleeping, and he tells them, "Why, guys, can't you be alert? We need to be alert and praying." Why? Because there's lots of dangers around. So we need to be very alert. There are many needs out there. We need to be very alert and sensitive to them. So he says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it. But then he also says, with an attitude of thanksgiving. If you know, I'll confess to you that I often find myself falling into the default mode of using prayer as asking God for things. That's sadly too natural for me. But Paul reminds us, when we communicate to God, let's offer thanks. You know, it's a common problem for children. I should have thanked my mother and father much more often than I did for all that they did for me. But it's almost like I take it for granted. Well, I'm supposed to be the center of their universe. They're supposed to wait on me and tell me that I'll never lose my hair and all these wonderful things that they told me. But I should thank them. And sometimes we think God exists for our well-being, so we need to go and, well, we do need to ask him for things. But the only reason we can ask him for things, the only reason we have access to him, is because of his grace. And every time we pray, we need to be thankful for everything that he's given us, everything that he's done for us, everything that he's done through us. We need to be people of thanksgiving. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Well, I hope that just Paul's words on Thanksgiving did kind of get your heart and mind stirred a little bit. And what we want to do is give you the opportunity to give thanks to him. I'm just going to have a word of prayer, then I'm going to turn the mic on, and then we can, I'll run this to whoever would like to speak, and let me do that. Lord, I want to thank you so much for this reminder from the Apostle Paul. I confess, Lord, that I needed to be thinking about that these last couple of weeks. Forgive me for being ungrateful, unappreciative. Thank you, Lord, for the people you have put in my life. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you've given me that I don't deserve. I pray that in everything and everything that I do, that I would do it with thanks. We pray, Lord, that you would use these next few moments as we share together not only as an opportunity to worship you by giving you thanks, but also to build each other up, to be reminded of things that we can all be thankful for. We pray that your Spirit would guide us as we testify to your goodness, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.